I'm sorry, friends, we have to announce that Mr. John Rosier is too ill to be with us today. May the Lord be with him where he is. But Mr. Gary Christie has agreed to preach this evening. Let us commence with hymn 967. 967. God of my life, to thee I call. Afflicted at thy feet I fall. When the great water floods prevail, leave not my trembling heart to fail. Hymn 967.
Oh,
Let us read the first two chapters of the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, chapters 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they to him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. May the Lord bless his word. Dave.
Make us well our vileness numb. Keep us very, very numb. O grant, Lord, true brokenness of spirit before thee, a holy, heart-searching God. And in us there is nothing but sin and iniquity. And Lord, we beg of thee to have mercy upon us for Jesus' sake alone. Lord, nothing in self to plead before thee, nothing but sin. Oh, we would fall before thee and say, my hope, my only hope's in thee. Oh God, be merciful to me. And we could as well say, my help, my only help's in thee. Oh God, be merciful to me. Wilt thou come and help us each this day, each one that has come up mourning before thee, mourning that they cannot think one thought of thine, unless thy spirit lead, that we are compassed about with so many cares, so many sorrows, and sought, Lord, so many sins of thought, word, and deed. A great mountain of guilt. Purge us with hyssop, and we shall be clean. Wash us, and we shall be whiter than snow. It is our only hope. So help us to come in true worship this day, low to thy feet. Thou alone canst do us good. Nothing else, nothing in self, nothing from without. Except thy spirit take of the precious things of Jesus Christ and him crucified and apply them in our hearts and consciences and raise us to a hope that thou hast lived and died for us. O Lord, we do ask thee to come this day that thy spirit may work in our midst, that our hearts may be touched, that our affections may be drawn away from all that is below. One thing made most needful to our souls, that we be found in Christ Jesus, that thou wilt smile upon us as thou dost smile upon thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased, that thou wilt see his suffering, his death, his ascension, his righteousness, and we be found in him. O Lord, we beseech thee, speak to our souls, touch our hearts, bid us live, draw us from all things to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And we do desire to thank thee, if thou hast ever spoken a word to our souls, though, Lord, so often now, it seems so remote, so covered over. O Lord, our sins, our sins. O show us that thou art a merciful and gracious Lord God. Show us that our names are in the everlasting covenant, ordered in all things. things and sure, that thou hast merciful upon whom thou wilt have mercy. And Lord, are we among that number? Show us that we are born of God, and that our treasure is above. Oh, do lead us in the way everlasting. Do not leave us, Lord, to be satisfied with an outward round of service, of reading thy word, of coming to the house of prayer, of going home again, but with nothing done. Oh, that there might be some great thing done in this house of prayer today. Souls quickened into life, souls brought to the birth, souls who feel their uttermost woe given deliverance by thee. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember each case, that thou wilt remember souls that feel that can ever God dwell here, that thou wilt show forth thy great mercy and draw souls' affections unto thee, and show forth thy love from behind the cloud. Oh, may not one soul here be left to perish at the last. We earnestly cry unto thee, save, Lord, or we perish. We have read that account in thy holy word of how thou didst save Jonah, though he felt to be cast off utterly, but out of the belly of hell he cried unto thee, and thou didst hear, and thou didst deliver. So do it for each one of us that feels our woe, our sad condition, our awful, dreadful condition before a holy, holy, holy God. We pray that thou wilt remember our little ones as they grow up now in such a world. But Lord, wilt thou touch their hearts? Oh Lord, do it while they're young, if it might please thee. Lead them in the way everlasting. And as we see the solemnity of the time, may we each be given grace to consider our latter end and eternity. And if thou shouldest come and take us from the earth, shall we be found at thy right hand? Hast thou begun a good work in us, and wilt thou perform it to the day of Jesus Christ? Oh, hear our poor cries. Send out answers of peace from the throne of grace, we cry unto thee. Lord, thou hast prevented thy servant from coming among us this morning. We would bow before thy sovereign will, but we do pray for him that thou art draw near to him and bless him indeed, and heal him and strengthen him also. And that thy presence might be with us here. Lord, thou hast blessed the recorded word from former times in our midst. And we pray that thou wilt come and do it again, that there may be something that the Spirit may take and fasten in our hearts and raise us to a hope that thou art ours, and we are thine. Oh, we do ask that thou wilt help dear Benji. Strengthen him and help him in reading the word. Lord, thy ancient word, thy holy word, our precious Bible, Lord, hast thou not spoken to us from that written word? Do come and do it again. And so may there be thy blessing, whether it be from the reading of thy word, the reading of that which was preached before, or in the singing of the hymns, but may hearts be touched. May thy precious spirit take of those things and draw affections heavenward, that we may be have our mourning turned into praise. We pray for one that we hope to come amongst us this evening, that thou wilt bless him and help him to speak well of his master, to exalt the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We do now commend to thee all ours who cannot be here this morning, and wilt thou remember them where they are, and bless the word even when it is broadcast to them. We pray, Lord, for thy people in affliction and distress and sorrow, those known to us drawing near to the gates of death. We pray that thou wilt strengthen them and draw near to them and bless them indeed. We pray for thy people throughout the world who are in persecution and under great stress and trouble at this time of war, especially in Ukraine, but in many other places too. May it please thee, Lord, to uphold them in the deepest distress, that they may say that thou art their God, that and prove that thou wilt never leave them nor forsake them. We do remember also all those that move. We pray for them, Lord. There are those that mourn because they have lost loved ones, some amongst us, Lord, and do comfort their hearts. Lord, thou art a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God, and thou didst weep at the grave of Lazarus and join in the sorrow of thy dear friends, thy own people. And so, Lord, may we each prove that when we sorrow, that thou art sorrowing with us. For thou art not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We pray now for our nation in all the things that are upon us here and the troubles in the world. And we pray that thou wilt grant our rulers wisdom, and may it please thee, Lord, to grant them a heart which understands thy holy word, and that there may be those laws not passed which are proposed now, and the laws which are in effect now, which are so contrary to thy word, may there yet be a time when they are overturned and when we are brought back to right laws. Hear us now, O Lord. We confess before thee that in ourselves we cannot pray aright, but may Christ receive our poor groanings, our poor utterings, the secret prayers of the hearts of thy people here, of those who may feel to be not thy people, but they long to be one of them. Hear those prayers, O Lord, when thou hearest, forgive, and do come and bless us. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. And we give thee thanks, O Lord, for the many mercies thou hast shown us hitherto, in providence and in grace, the mercy of thy holy word, of the freedom to meet together for worship, of thy servants to come amongst us, to preach the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. And there was provided for us each one hitherto in the things of this life. Lord, we would count our many blessings, count them one by one. Here for Jesus' sake we ask thee all that we ask now, and all the thanks that we render unto thee, for all that we have is what thou hast given us. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 918. Blessed are the poor in spirit, who their native vileness see. They are all taught sin's demerit, gladly own salvation free, and from Sinai to the wounds of Jesus flee. Hymn 918. try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Jesse Dells. You'll find the text in the second chapter we read, Jonah chapter 2 and verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Jonah had to be brought by the solemn dealings of God with him to the very last extremity. So much so that he says earlier in this chapter, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. That is to say, the very grave itself, a living grave it was to him, being cast into the depths of the sea. When we read the history of the Lord's servant Jonah, for he was the Lord's servant, we may gather that the Lord's people cannot willfully disobey his command with impunity. If a clear command is given in a matter, as was given in the case of Jonah, then it is well for one to follow that direction. The commission was clear in his case. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. But Jonah went his own course. He would not go to Nineveh, but sought to go to Tarshish and got part of the way there. Providence may seem to favour the projects of men, even good men, for a time. But a wrong course proceeded in will bring the solemn chastening hand of God in due time. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. All went well for a time with Jonah. He got to Joppa without any difficulty, paid his fare and got on board ship. All seemed to be well. But in the secret of his heart, he knew he was guilty and must have had a smarting conscience consequently. But he thought he would have got through with it. The Lord sent a strong wind, a storm, a tempest came, and the men who were heathen on board ship had suspicions of Jonah, and Jonah himself knew the cause. And yet there he lay, asleep in that ship. How far even the Lord's people may go in a wrong course, the Lord knows. But if they are his, he will restore them and bring them back, as he did in the case of Jonah. Jonah's sin brought him trouble. It brought him a storm, a tempest, a solemn providence, a very, very narrow escape from death. An escape which could only have been by the marvellous protection of Jehovah. But divine mercy watched over him. Nonetheless, his life was spared. After 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, the Lord, we read, spoke to the fish, and it vomited up Jonah on the dry land. Is anything too hard for the Lord? We have reason, I believe, in the case of Jonah, to conclude that the Lord gave him repentance even there when he was being cast about in the depths of the sea. For he survived the tempest, and when being cast about in the depths of the sea, he said, I will look again toward thy holy temple. In this chapter, he relates the exercises of his soul in the deep waters, and gives expression to the state of his mind. He was not altogether in a backsliding state. He was not in a prayerless state, was he? He was in a dangerous state, but the Lord looked upon him, and when there in the very depths, when his soul was fainting within him, he remembered the Lord, and his prayer was effectual to the promised end. but it was under the deepest extremity. He came, so to speak, to the last thread before deliverance came. He was in, as he described it, a fainting condition. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. He had to come there. It is not a pleasant place. The term, the expression fainting, may be likened to a condition of extreme weakness and prostration, practical helplessness. But there is no fainting to be compared to soul fainting. This is something more than a passing distemper of the body, the fainting of the soul. One is at a point of giving up. There seems to be no strength left. The spirit swoons, so to express it. A person staggers like a drunken man and is at his wit's end. When my soul fainted within me, while Jonah was in that condition, he prayed, and the Lord heard him and delivered him. We may gather from this, then, that a child of God may have strength to pray when he has no power to do anything else. Prayer is a weapon for the feeble. Weakest souls can wield it best. What a mercy this is, that poor sinners in themselves, as weak as worms, may prevail with God in prayer. Jonah's prayer went home. It entered into the right place. His face was directed to the right person. My prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Here is a type of Christ who promises to hear and answer prayer. He says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will do it. But the people of God are a tried people. They are tried in their souls often, and are brought to a fainting condition. The psalmist was in a similar place when he said, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. When my soul fainted, I would like to speak, if the Lord will help me, a little concerning this fainting condition and some things that may produce it. The Lord's people are not always upon the Mount of Assurance. Neither are they always in the enjoyment of the Lord's presence, walking in the light of his countenance. They experience clouds, dejections, storms and tempests. And these things bring about a fainting condition of soul, fainting in a spiritual sense, so described. My soul fainted. I believe sometimes the sight and sense of sin, guilt and condemnation in an awakened sinner's conscience will be a cause of fainting. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. One feeling to be covered with sin and guilt as in the sight of God. Fearing destruction, ruin and death may faint, be exceedingly dejected, weakened, cast down, rendered helpless under a sense of his own sins. A view of himself, a discovering of his depravity, the aboundings of sin within, what sin will lead to unless it is put away. Solemn convictions and apprehensions in the conscience will produce at times a fainting condition. The great thing with a living child of God is to have his sins forgiven. This is the knowledge of salvation. This brings assurance in the soul, sensible union with Christ, the comfort of a hope of heaven. But when our sins are set before us and we see them, when they rise as mountains between our souls and God, when condemnation is written upon them, and they rise up before our view, then the soul faints. My soul fainted within me at the sight of them, and what the consequences would be unless they were put away, forgiven. The people of God have to know two sides of religion, sin and salvation. And they will never value the covenant blessings of the gospel unless they feel the sting and bitterness of sin. This is no small and passing experience at the beginning of their lives. The pain of sin is felt more or less throughout all their spiritual life. Heart expresses it well in his hymn, "Sin's immense as is the sea, hide me, O Gethsemane." The soul faints under a sense of that, under the burden of that. It produces a fainting condition, but not a despairing one altogether. Being taught by the Holy Ghost, there is a cry wrung out even under a sense of guilt and condemnation felt, "Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, cast thy pitying eye upon my case. I am lost, utterly undone, ruined. Nothing but free mercy can deliver me. My sins merit despair and final death, hell and banishment." There is a fainting condition when one lies under sensible condemnation. When guilt lies upon the conscience, it produces a faintness. The soul faints at the sight. Another may be fainting by reason of the withholding from him of the bread and wine of the gospel. No man can keep alive his own soul. A living soul must be fed. This is as true spiritually as it is naturally. And if supplies are withheld, there is a fainting in a spiritual sense. The soul is weakened in a fainting condition. Referring to the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, one says, "I eat the bread and drink the wine, but oh, my soul wants more than sign. I faint unless I feed on thee and drink the blood as shed for me." A child of God cannot live upon outward sign or any dry form in itself. There must be a receiving out of the fullness of Christ, a living by faith upon him as the fullness of the gospel. Living souls feed upon Christ. They have a knowledge of him as revealed to their souls, not only as the way to heaven and as the fullness of salvation, but as having in his blessed hands as mediator all grace, grace sufficient to supply every need, and they come to him for this. But if those supplies are withheld, there is a fainting consequence. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, there is a fainting condition. Have we been brought here, there, some of us, been reduced and weakened in our soul's feelings under the hidings of the Lord's face, so that we have had to cry, "Lord, save or I perish. Lord, give me something for my soul, or I shall famish and die. Do come to me, or my faith will give up the ghost and go spark out." The people of God cannot live upon past sins. They may be encouraged by them, and rightly so too, but fresh supplies are necessary. We must draw from the fullness of Christ. We must live by faith upon a living Christ, otherwise we shall faint and die. It is a sad matter for any when they can be satisfied with external observances. If there is life in the soul, you will come to chapel hungry for God. And if there is no food for you, your soul will faint and become weary. And it is very sad when there is a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. Amos speaks of a famine, not of bread and water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. "And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro, to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. And if the Lord has put life into our souls, that life must be sustained. Some of you may feel to be in a fainting condition thus. You read the scriptures, but there is nothing for you there. You try to pray, but you get no access. The Lord's frowns may appear to be over you. You come to chapel, but there is not the satisfaction to your souls as formerly. You hear sermons, at one time they were life to you, but now there seems to be something withholding the power. You get nothing. The soul faints, and it is a painful condition to be in. A person fainting naturally has not much help in himself, neither has a poor sinner. Unless the Lord comes to him again, he will go from fainting to death. But mercifully, the Lord will not allow that. My soul fainteth within me. Is it long since the Lord visited your soul? Have you longed to go back in your case to say, "He blessed me there"? Has there been or is there now a period of silence? Is the Lord silent to you? The psalmist prayed against that. He said, "Be not silent to me, lest, if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." The silence of the Lord is a pain to a living soul. It will be a pain, and if it continues long, he will faint. I believe sometimes in the case of another, prayers remaining unanswered will be a cause of fainting. Hath the Lord forgotten to be gracious? Doth his promise fail for evermore? Suggestions may come into the mind in the case of such and much conflict with regard to their prayers. Were they from the Lord? Is it any use praying? Is there any purpose in it? Much conflict may be in respect of the Lord's promise concerning hearing and answering prayer. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. But someone may be saying, "He has not answered me." The need still remains. Prayer is unanswered. When I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer and seems to have no regard to my case. Then it is very difficult to hold fast the profession of your faith in the truth of God. Very difficult. There seems to be no purpose in praying, and you may have no access either. Things remain unfulfilled, and there is a fainting condition in consequence. My soul fainteth within me. Sometimes the cause of fainting with a child of God may arise from the trials of the way. The children of Israel were led about in a mysterious pathway. He led them about and instructed them. But he led them in an intricate, difficult path. And on one occasion we read that the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way, much shortened, as though they had hardly any strength to go further. The soul of the people was discouraged. They were fainting, and the people of God may have a like experience. Trials may come one upon another, and sometimes they do. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. I cannot long go on, one would say. These things press me down. They seem to press the life out of me, and the soul is discouraged, fainting. Then again, mysterious dispensations may sometimes occasion fainting. The Lord's purposes, the end he has in his dealings, is not seen. What thou knowest not now, thou shalt know hereafter. The vision is yet for an appointed time. Blighted prospects, painful experiences that come into our lives, mysterious to us, are the cause of fainting. At another time in our lives, prevailing unbelief may be a cause of fainting. When the children of Israel came to the promised land, spies were sent to view the country, and they returned with their report. But except for Joshua and Caleb, they brought back an evil report. There were the sons of Anak there. They could not be conquered. And unbelief prevailed amongst the people, and they rebelled against God. They fainted. Unbelief has a great power in us, and unless grace given by the Lord prevails over it, we shall be overcome by it. But the Lord will be true to his word. There is a fainting condition of soul. Sometimes the spirit is overwhelmed, fainting. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Then again, there may be what appear to be unsurmountable difficulties before one, and he may faint at the prospect before him. I know the Lord can give faith to press on under what may be unsurmountable in itself, so that one can say in the strength of faith, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain." But if any are left for a time as a test to show them their own helpless condition in the face of mountains approaching, there is a fainting of the soul, a fainting condition. My soul fainted within me. There was a poor man tossed about in the midst of the sea, in the belly of the fish. He could see no way of escape there. Humanly speaking, certain death must have been before him. Yet notwithstanding, even in the very jaws of death, yea, from the very belly of hell, that is, from the grave as intended, he prayed. Has the Lord ever brought you to that very last pass, so that there has been nothing left but a secret groan? Your spirit fainting, your soul's fainting, and yet underneath, outward difficulties, afflictions, burdens and trials, there has been a praying to the Lord. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Jonah's faith survived the storm. He knew where to look. He had to pray to an offended God, a God provoked by reason of his own disobedience. But he had to return to him from whose presence he had fled. And so shall we, if we have an experience after this nature in some matter. We shall have to return to that God from whom we have fled. Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord, but the only hope he had when in the belly of the fish was to pray. He had no prospect of deliverance from any other quarter but the merciful interposition of a covenant God. So it will be with us if and when we are passing through the deep waters of trouble. There is only one way of escape, only one way of deliverance. Jonah remembered the Lord. The Lord's eye was on him all through. It is said he fled from the presence of the Lord, but never from the eye of omnipotence. The Lord watched over him to bring him down, to convince him of his guilt and bring him back. He says, "I will hear their backslidings. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him." I remembered the Lord. There is something very sweet about that. It suggests that though the Lord's people may sink very, very low, yet they remember one who can deliver them. And to remember the Lord here is to pray unto him. My prayer came in unto thee, unto thy holy temple. I remembered the Lord. In a way he had forgotten him, departed from him. But in that time of deep extremity, he remembered the Lord. So a child of God may remember the Lord, even in deep extremity, the most painful affliction and trials he may have. I remembered the Lord. You may remember his former loving kindness at such a time. O my God, my soul is cast down within me, yet will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and the hill Mizar. You may look back and remember when the Lord has delivered you before. Remember his former loving kindnesses. The Lord remembered Jonah. That was why Jonah remembered the Lord. Does he not say through his prophet Jeremiah, "Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, I remember thee, saith the Lord, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. I remember thee." The Lord had never forgotten them, but he looked back upon the times of their spiritual youth and the days when they went after him. The children of God may remember the Lord's past kindnesses, and remembering them, take courage and wait upon him for further deliverances. I remembered the Lord. He remembered the word of the Lord to him. Doubtless, Jonah remembered what the Lord had told him to do, where he had told him to go. But he had been disobedient to the divine command, and he remembered that and confessed it before him. I remembered the Lord. But he remembered him in that way, the best way. He remembered him to cry unto him and to confess his sin, to repent before God, and the Lord heard him. His prayer was effectual. It entered into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth. I remembered the Lord. A tried child of God may remember his promise. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. If thou art near despair, fainting, it is a help to remember what the Lord has spoken, the promises he may have made to you, although they may remain unfilled. I remembered the Lord. You may remember his power too. Has he not said, "I will be with thee in six troubles, and in seven there shall no evil touch thee"? Remember the promises given in the word of God to those in a fainting condition. Apprehend and lay hold of them by faith, and plead them before God, reminding him of his own faithfulness to his word, of his power to save, that he has said, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed." It is good to remember that in a fainting condition. We may remember too that the Lord comes to his people in the most unlikely places. That was an unlikely and unthought of place. Who would have thought he would have come to one in such a place? And you may have thought something similar, and said too, "I do not think I shall ever get into such a state." You may have thought you would never come into such a condition, but you have, and you are fainting. Your soul is fainting, but you remember the Lord. There is no place where he cannot come. And he does come to the most unlikely, most unthought of places. Remember his covenant love at such a time. He will never cast off his people. He has purchased them at too high a price. He has laid down his own life to redeem them. Therefore he will be with them and bring them through. Hence the Lord says in his gracious promise to his church, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the floods they shall not overflow thee. It is good to remember a word like that when one is in a fainting condition. Others may be fainting because they have not found what they have been seeking for. You may have read a scripture like this: seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. But you say, I have not found. I have long sought the Lord as I hope, but I have not found what I wanted. My sins remain upon me. I am fainting. If there, remember the Lord, although you are fainting. He has set his own time to visit his people, and you may not know how near that time is. There is a set time to favour Zion. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Remember the Lord. But I must give up. There is no purpose in seeking longer. The Lord is against me. There is no mercy for me. So you may be near the borders of despair. But if you are fainting thus, may you remember the Lord. He never fails. The psalmist got into a fainting state when he said, is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? But he said, this is my infirmity, that I will remember the days of the right hand of the Most High. My prayer came in unto thee, unto thy holy temple. It entered into the ear and the heart of God, and he regarded it and delivered his servant. So he will deliver you. Your fainting condition is known unto him. It is little with him to help, whether with many or by them that have no might. We are unable to surmount our own difficulties. We faint before them. You may look back on some things and say, I do not think I can ever go through that again. But that is a fainting condition. We lose sight of the Lord's power to help under the most trying conditions. All thy waves and thy billows have gone over me. Fainting, but my prayer came up unto thee. What a mercy to have a prayer put into our hearts at such a time. The Lord can impart strength into the heart of a weak person to pray, the only thing he can do. Yet, although there is such an efficacy in prayer, few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. The Lord hearkened and heard Jonah, so he will his people when they come and do come into these conditions of fainting. The causes of fainting may be well known to them, but the Lord is near at hand to deliver and save. Amen.
Benji and Ernst, God willing, Mr. Gary Christie will preach this evening in place of Mr. Rosier. And our thoughts are with Mr. Rosier, as he greatly desired to come amongst us, but was prevented. Sunday school will be this afternoon at Bethany. Mr. Roland Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. On Saturday, there'll be a FGEA meeting at the primary school at 2:30. And God willing, next Lord's Day, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And the cemetery trustees will meet tomorrow evening, God willing, at 7:30. Our closing hymn is 914. Beneath the sacred throne of God, I saw a river rise. The streams were peace and pardoning blood, descending from the skies. Hymn 914.
Garrison and even now, if it be like, come on, Lord. thy servant be noted. Lord, may this prove to me one of thy oh, who held him where he is of uncertainty today. Lord, give him a word to bring his. Lord, oh, do come. May thy presence be. Lord, remember thy servant in it. Lord, be with him today. Oh, do. Lord, do draw near to him. Lord, if he is able to get to thy house, Lord, be with him. Now, if it's a hard Lord, do grant him gracious meditation. May it be a special Sabbath day. Lord, if thy will to restore him again, if it be thy will, we pray. Be with us now as we part. We gather the children this afternoon. Grant help in the sons. Oh, may there be something. Lord, do forgive our errors. Oh, have mercy on us, we pray. We ask for Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.